This is I Too.
Where you'll find a vision for just about anything. When you don't know what you don't know.
Put your glasses on and listen to gain a new perspective and try on exciting frames of mind. And we're back.
Welcome round back, two. Everyone, to the I2 podcast.
So, coming off the bat of talking about education in our last podcast, what comes after education? There's so many different stages, as we mentioned, different stages which people leave uni, that you start traveling, careers, so many different career paths. And we're going to talk a little bit about that.
From our small experience.
Our small experience.
I mean, we are living right now. We are experiencing university right now. So it is slightly biased. But we have a lot of friends from different
backgrounds. Just family members. People that you meet.
People dropping out in year 12. Like, a lot of different backgrounds and different pathways people can take. And yep. Celebrities as well. Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Already university.
Yep.
So, started his own business.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different...
There's so many different paths you can take. And even just us being at university, that's such a small percentage of people, right? Mm. Like, not many people end up getting a tertiary education, or they do, but even they start a bit later on. And life is just filled with possibilities, but everybody has their own, even if you end up
pathway,
even if you end up in the same, doing the same job as somebody else, they're going to have a completely different, you know, a set of experiences. They're going to have view it so differently.
And we're all different people.
And even like doing university, yeah. You can do it in so many different ways.
And like, we're all different. So
we are.
There's like, there shouldn't be one universal way that everyone.
There's never going to be.
You know, it's like fitting a square in a circle.
Round peg in a square hole. Yeah. Square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, that's the phrase. Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard 2 years into his college education and started Microsoft.
Yeah.
And he was a millionaire by 26. Like, I suppose that is a bit of a
there was a period of time back there that lots of people had the idea of drop out of uni and start their own business. But there's only a handful of the Googles, Apples, Microsoft in the world compared to the amount of startups.
Yeah.
So it's interesting though to think even starting at university and within the small amount of people that end up at universities, the different universities that you end up going to, being an international student in your undergraduate, going on exchange. We lived at college, living in student accommodations, and the whole lifestyle that's associated with that is really interesting. I've traveled a lot in my short time on this earth, and I have met some incredible people from incredible paths. And when I went on my grad trip, I was 17, and a lot of the people who I met were taking a gap year from their undergrad, between the undergrad and their master's. And similarly, when I went backpacking in Asia when I was a bit older, in the middle of college, and that was an opportunity provided to me by college, I met a lot of other people who had quit their job and they just decided to travel the world, and they were in their 50s. So there's the phrase that it's never too late. It really never is too late. You can, if you have that passion, if you have that motivation and the energy, you can really find your way. And I was talking to my mom about this, because one thing that she always said was to just stay focused. Especially in high school, at those points where you just don't want to do it anymore and you just get so stressed and overwhelmed with particularly grade 12, she just said to stay focused. And it was really hard for me to sort of wrap my head around that, because you need actually something to focus on, right? And having that end goal, that any motivation in mind is kind of hard, you know? Yeah, you can do anything when you set your mind to it, but to have something that you set your mind to, that's sort of never really spoken about. And, you know, coming back to Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs and the those sort of amazing initiatives and startups, they had to have that idea. You know, you can't just drop out and hope an idea comes to you. They had the idea. They had this sort of, they didn't know where it would go or how it actually developed, but they had that passion.
But even like just dropping out, like that's just the first step to finding your passion and your purpose. So by dropping out and exploring something new, and that's how you find your passion, really. Like, you don't know what your passions are. Like, if you're just going to school every day, in and out, day in, day out, and you're feeling that you don't have, like, a purpose or a passion, well, that's because you're not actively seeking an experience.
This is one point where I would slightly disagree, because for me, I think if you don't have a passion, you should stay, you should try and go, like, be, if you're in a university, try and stay there and try different subjects within the university, oh, yeah, change your degree, because dropping out gives you, like, you just have nothing to hold you, right? Like, you have so many options that you have none, right?
Well, yeah.
And with that structure of the university, you get to try different things that, in a way that is still controlled, right? And I sort of think about it this way. If you drop out and spend XYZ years working and then you figure out what you really want to do and you have to go come back to university to get a degree to do it, if you had stayed at the university, you could have tried XYZ subjects in a shorter amount of time and then you...
I think my perspective was more like on the extreme side of things where... the person just knows just they do not want to do academics. Like, they're more of like a hands-on practical person. Like, they want to do like construction or whatever it is.
Yeah, fair
but like,
enough.
I so agree with what you're saying in terms of like exhausting all of your options within school and university, which you're put in, right?
I know definitely people, and I've like spoken to high school students who want to drop out. I've tried to tell them this and they're not convinced, and that's fair enough. Again, it's a difference of opinion. Some people think that, yeah, like, why would I stay in an institution where I can go and I can actually live life? But I think that being at an institution, just from like personal experience, but also just looking at a broader picture, it just gives you, when you're in life, like everyday life, you have to start at the bottom, right? If you don't have that qualification, it's really hard to actually experience a higher level field or a higher level type of job that you might even not know exists. And you find out a lot of jobs that don't exist, that you didn't know existed at university. It's the phrase, you don't know what you don't know. And I think that even like TAFE institutions and doing sort of construction courses, those sort of things, they provide that knowledge of what you didn't know because that's their job, right?
Mm. And I understand what you mean by like you trying to tell people that they should stay in school and like explore their options first, and they still are reluctant to continuing. And I think that's very much ingrained within like their childhood and like the way that they're brought up, and they see their parents who are just like tradies or like just getting by, and they're sort of, it's ingrained now in who they are.
Yeah,
and
it's
really
value.
Hard to change that. So I so understand that. And it is frustrating because I see we both see the importance of education, particularly in this day and age, and the opportunities that that brings, and like opening so many doors and finding who you really want to be. But there are, yeah, those
even coming off the bat
don't
then
want to do education.
Extending that even beyond education, you know, it seems kind of, I guess, a bit confined. Education is sort of this one pathway, getting a university degree. There are so many ways, as I already, like we already briefly mentioned, within a university to actually complete your degree. I have coworkers who they work full time, they study part time because they found a great job that they love, but they still want to get that qualification. I know people who have yeah, they found what they studying something they really enjoy, they really want to get their degree, but they deferred because they got an amazing scholarship opportunity to do an apprenticeship or an internship or just to travel and do something a bit different. And they've taken that. And then also the different types of internships and jobs you can get from those connections you build at universities. That's also another thing.
I think, yeah, there's so many opportunities there. So my question to you is, Jules, is this did your parents or family or any teachers have any expectations of you for like life after high school even or life after university?
Absolutely. My background was so much in education. Both of my parents have tertiary doctorates and high qualifications. My mom is so passionate about education. She really instilled that in me.
She's in the medical field.
She's, yeah, biomedicine. And she always instilled in me a passion for education. That was very much my own. But that didn't mean that I didn't think about, you know, taking a gap year. I was for a long time, I was considering taking a gap year. And I couldn't even talk to my parents about it because
they have such fixed views and
yeah, it was more that was the expectation. And I guess that sort of filters into my kind of view about it now, that people should do that testing at university. But also because I knew that I didn't know what I wanted to do. I think that if I had had a passion from an earlier age, some sort of idea that I knew I wanted to pursue and I stuck to it and I knew how to get there, then I probably wouldn't have considered a gap year. But I think that that is one big thing why a lot of people do take gap years. And
so yeah, they expected you to go to university.
Yeah, it was like that expectation.
A PhD,
yeah,
become a doctor.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. But I mean, even my sister, she still now she has a clear idea. She's doing her master's, but she still didn't have the clearest idea of what she wanted to do when she graduated her undergrad. So even that was the expectation of her to go to university.
You just keep studying and then you just keep trying to find your...
And your parents?
Oh, my parents. yeah, well, I suppose it's in that every parent's best like interest for their children to pursue education, get a job, have a family, so on and so forth. But the main thing that they told me was just, yeah, finding what I loved within sports, academics and music and pursuing that. So it was either having like academics and sports or academics and music. At the beginning I was doing flute, playing the flute, which I'm now like grade 6 or something like that.
Ooh-hoo.
And I am still a national rower and I was doing well in my university and in my high school. So I got into University of Sydney. So I sort of ticked all those boxes. And that's always like what they hadn't envisioned like top grades and like, you know, high expectations, but they just wanted me to experience all the different industry, like different like walks of life. So yeah. Not walks of life.
Different things you can do.
Yeah.
Like maximizing your opportunity.
Opportunity.
I think that's a big one. Even from some experiences that I've had with people who come from different lower socioeconomic backgrounds and harder lives, where the sort of expectation of them is that when they graduate high school and even in grade 10, the sooner that they can get to work to start contributing to the family household, the better. And that's sort of another motivation that their background had for them. Because it is when you are in those sort of years coming to the end of your high school or thinking about what you want to do as you become more autonomous and more self-sufficient, it's hard to actually find what is it that you're going to give everything up for.
Mm. But it's good to have that flexibility. Like once you get into the institution, for example, university, there are more options to have a look at.
I was speaking, one of my coworkers, she is from America and she came to Australia as a backpacker, and she's still halfway through her uni degree, and she needed to travel, and that was the right place, right time for her. That's what she needed to do. And then coming here.
Even during COVID.
Well, now she's been.
That urge.
This was a couple years ago. So she's been living in Australia for 2.5, nearly 3 years. And she found her partner now, and they've been together that whole time. And she found different jobs that she enjoyed. She got to try a lot of different jobs as a temp. And because she was studying psychology, and now she's thinking, like, she wants to finish that maybe in Australia. But there is, again, it's a very different perspective on life at that stage. And it's interesting because, you know, us, we do have that, our own perspectives, and she has her own. And trying to think about other people's walks of life is, I think it's really eye-opening. I love talking to other people about this, particularly when traveling, because there's so many different reasons just for traveling, right?
Yeah, and it's like, how are you passionate about, like, different things, right? And we're all so different. So, like, you're really passionate about, I know you like your cooking as well. Like, for me, it's like more of a chore. Yeah. But Jules like
with
finds
a fryer
pleasure.
Or baker.
Yeah, Jules like finds pleasure in like making different foods. Like that's just like one really small thing.
No, it is. Yeah. That's, I mean, again, it's those individual differences that make us who we are. Mm-hmm. And one of the sort of interesting, I guess, cultural generalizations that I have observed is that a lot of my European friends and a lot of people who I've met from different countries in Europe tend to, when they say gap year, they think of after your bachelor's. That's their gap year. They take a gap year then when they go and work and they figure out what they want to do for their career. Or I met some people who were, they had finished their undergrad, they were going to study medicine, and they were taking a gap year to travel the world in between that, which was really cool. And then for in Australia, and I think in the UK as well, there's that perspective of, like, when you think of a gap year, you think straight out of high school, going to travel and do that. So that's sort of a cultural generalization of coming back to those expectations, even that cultural and society that you grow up in, the expectations that you have. In Australia, we have such a broad education program, and there is so much of those outreach programs to help improve the standards of even the sort of most basic types of education, and those up to grade 10 people in rural communities who have more of that motivation to increase their family household income. And trying to improve the importance and emphasize the importance of education to them. So,
yeah, I even think all those trends are really like interesting, and to see like where the world might be in like 100 years and like different perspectives. Like, is everyone going to have access to education, and everyone going to find this like significance of it, or are they not?
Yeah, I was thinking about how because I do a bit of history. And we were talking about the education system of, you know, back in the 1600s. Obviously, it was only men back then. And if they were from a rich family, that was sort of the biggest, that was sort of the only group that really got that top education, or what we would consider a kind of standard education nowadays. And they had so much, they actually had more of an education, I feel, because they learnt about art and culture and music, as well as the sciences and the literature and the history. Whilst now there's, because they were the generation, that was the period of time that developed the sort of fundamental understandings that we have now of science and
absolute, and also come to think
trade
of it,
like, business,
we have so much access now to this information that our computers are doing the thinking for us. So
it is
it could be, yeah, like you're saying, that back then they're more educated than we are now.
Because they had to learn all of it, right?
They they learned more, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know about like education, but yeah.
Yeah, it's more they had to learn more whilst we are sort of... it's more about the application and the practicality. I think as well, I always say this, the Google dilemma, that I'll Google it, you know, when you think of something, I'll Google it later.
And every time.
But it's just in a broader context. I noticed it in the last years of my high school, where it was almost this sort of subliminal idea that we have access to this information, therefore we don't need to be taught it in the classroom. We need to, and that sort of
people that are saying that now.
Yeah,
like, why do we have high school when, or like school? Yeah, when it's all the internet,
and it increases the expectation of what you should be doing at school when you're not actually getting any of that background information, because you don't end up Googling any of the things that you say you're going to Google later.
You asked
like what it means and the look it up, that was like when you would ask someone like as a kid in a conversation, what does that mean, and they would say look it up, like your parents or something would say look it up, and you'd I remember going, we had a fat dictionary at home, and I would always look and I'd be like, what does this word mean?
And it doesn't really like stay in your head though, like when you're just Googling it, right? Like because you see the answer and you're like, oh, like that took like five seconds just to like type up. Whereas like if you were actually looking for like in the
book.
Past, like in the book, like it would be a process of this, like is thinking also about the different terms and everything like that.
Yeah, and I think as well in like just a side note of translating languages, trying to find out what a word means in a different language, the best way to learn is not to translate it into your language. So for example, to learn something in French, you wouldn't translate it to English, but you would try to explain it, get it explained to you in French in the basic language.
That's such a big thing, because I did German in the
German
HSC,
is the same,
and because I'm half German, so I had a bit of like knowledge of the fundamentals. So I went into high school being like, yeah, this is all cool. I was pretty good at it up until like year 9, and then it was like having to learn the grammar and like putting in future and past tense and all that, which was naturally like challenging.
Yeah,
but I thought, you know, just go on like Google Translate, put in one word, oh, I know it now, you know, like it. But it's not like actually challenging myself to learn it was more just like searching for the term and then applying it and then forgetting it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't do very well, and that's HSC.
But I mean it is the same thing, just thinking about different concepts, trying to define. So I was explaining the word zenith. So I don't know if you know what a zenith is. You don't use it in everyday language. Zenith is it's used in mathematics. It's used in business. It's a very versatile word for a point that maximizes efficiency, or it's like the optimal point. And they use it in astronomy. They use it in statistics, mathematics. I was using it to describe the point in a painting, which is the point that you can manipulate to get the optimal perspective of like a 3D illusion, and illusions as well. Mm-hmm. So that, for example, trying to explain that in terms of the use of it and the concept of it. And coming back to looking for it in a book, if you're looking for like an idea in an encyclopedia, you can't just look up the word. You have to think about what the word is associated with and then find the actual discipline that it falls into, and then the field and the category and the blah 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 that it all falls into. So how did we get on this tangent?
I think this is really sort of stretched out.
This has
a little bit.
But coming back, different career paths, and then different levels of education and things that you can do
after university,
after school.
And then
school.
Like your family's expectations and like
society's expectations.
And the different.
One of my favorite sort of quotes that I developed with my my ancient history teacher is that you are a product of the society in which you thrive. And everybody is a product of the society in which they thrive, because you just can't exist otherwise.
Right.
Because you're so...
I think that's why I want to put myself in a different society. Right. That's why I want to move to the US, just to experience that.
But even like this period of time, you know, where we have like this technological age and everything.
I see, like more broadly.
It's not just like the society is in the culture, specific. But it's like it's so many different aspects.
Sydney University.
Your family as well. Like your family, that's a little society.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you do have multiple houses on your property.
Yeah, anyway.
So that's life after institutional education. After the institution. Institutionalization. And with that, that's all.
Yeah, I hope you really enjoyed
this. I hope you enjoyed this. We enjoyed talking about it.
Follow us or check us out on our Instagram and Facebook and Spotify. We are the letter I and number 2 podcast.
And then number 2.
And then number 2.
2, okay,
and
gotcha.
Then, and then podcast. 2,
okay. And it is, it's podcast, like P-O-D, cast, gotcha.
Yes, podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. I hope you have an awesome day today, this bright Wednesday.
Sunny.
Bright and sunny Wednesday. And we'll get back to you next week with some awesome content.
All right. We out.